Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 7:28 p.m. That is, I think that's New York time. So I'm in Cleveland, in fact, at the moment. I flew in today, and that's why I'm recording the audio and video a little later than normal. And I'll be here for the next few days because my daughters are competing in the North American Cup for fencing, and that's going to be an exciting weekend. Well, I thought that I would kick off today and look at China, because we've had fireworks in the latter part of February, but the last 3 days have been pretty quiet. So there's a little bit of wait and see going on, but we can see clearly on the daily chart that the downtrend has been broken. That's by far the most important consideration. And unless we see a sustained move back below the trend mean, which I think is rather unlikely, then that would obviously question that we're in a recovery scenario. The index has very clearly broken the downtrend, but it's bounced emphatically from that 2500 point level, and that represents the upper side of the base formation that persisted between 2012 and 2014, and then we had a very significant rally subsequent to that. Well, there were obvious catalysts back in 2015, and there are potentially equally important catalysts today. The Chinese administration have been weighing on the shadow banking sector, and they are at a point now where they can pretty much decide when they want to declare victory. They've clamped down substantially on the kind of speculative behavior that had been going on. The fact that they are now permitting defaults is, in fact, a positive, because it will help to clear out some of the, the most highly levered and bad loans that have been out there. But what they also have room to do is to stimulate, and that, I think, does look likely. What's, I think, find particularly interesting as well is that Europe has also been bouncing, and it is back above the trend mean, and it was in just about positive territory in here today. Well, stock markets generally have been rallying since just after Christmas, and they are all, or a good many of them now, are within striking distance of their respective trend means. The very substantial advance that we've seen in China is one of the bigger moves above the trend mean that we've seen internationally. So that alone is worth considering, not least because China had been leading on the downside. What that also helps to highlight is the fact that the size of the Chinese economy now has a very significant impact on the global economy, and the perception for growth in the Chinese economy tends to shade the perceptions of investors internationally. Quite whether they are would be willing to admit that, or whether people are even cognizant of that, is another point. But it is certainly the case that what's good for China is generally good for the rest of the world in terms of the economy. Now, we can have a very long discussion about standards of governance, and those kinds of discussions are going to be increasingly necessary as years go by, and not least because of the increasing authoritarianism that you have in China. But if they are willing now to engage in an additional stimulus, then we have the real potential here for a global reflation trade. The growth in China has been deteriorating. PMI figures have been trending downwards and are in contraction territory, and have been in contraction territory for over a year. They either need to start to stimulate now, or they are going to end up with a recession, and there is no way that China wants a recession. The fact that the market has been rallying, I think, is certainly starting to give some heart to European investors. Europe exports a great deal to China. In fact, it exports much more to China than the USA does. And their terms of trade with China are much more balanced than the USA's are. So, in fact, Europe has got much more close ties with China than the USA does. And if China does well, then that should also be the case for Europe. The DAX index has just about unwound its oversold condition relative to the trend mean. It's been underperforming, and not least because of the difficulties that the automotive sector is having. For example, when we look at Daimler, then I'm posting in here today this story about the chap in the Netherlands who got his Model 3 and very quickly got onto the Autobahn to see how fast he could take it. And he ran out of courage before he hit the limit at about 145 miles per hour. Well, that's, I think, one of the really significant challenges for the automotive sector. It would be hard to say that there is an uptrend on Daimler's chart. That's despite the fact that it is a massive employer and a massive producer of what many people would consider to be a highly desirable product. But when you can get the same performance from a product that is in many cases less than half the price, well, it suggests that your business has got a problem. Germany does not have battery factories, so they are miles behind the rest of the world. And then you have to think that China is still very much intent on gaining a foothold in the international car market in much the same way that both Japan and South Korea have done. So these represent really rather existential questions for Germany. But what is heartening is that the banking sector is starting to turn around. And we were up in additional positive territory in here today. This is the most impressive bounce we've seen in banks in a year. And it's coming from the region of the lower side of this range. So it's around this area we've seen significant rallies in banks on multiple occasions. So there is the potential here that Europe could start to do better. There's very little potential that the ECB is going to raise rates, or indeed it's going to reduce the size of their balance sheet. If anything, there has been still an upward trend over the course of the last few months, despite the fact that they said that they were going to end all purchases at the end of last year. The simple fact of the matter is that Europe needs additional stimulus. They have completely ignored the need for rationalizing the balance sheets of the banks and absorbing the bad debts that have existed. That suggests that Europe is increasingly moving towards a Japanese type of situation. Well, if we think about what is in fact going on with Japan, they're trying everything really to break their deflationary spiral. The Nikkei today was up about 186 points, and it is now also another index that is right in the region of the trend mean. And part of the reason why it has been able to unwind that oversold condition is because the yen is now weakening through the 200-day moving average. So certainly when we saw that flash rally at the beginning of this year, that really did scare the Bank of Japan, and they've been weakening the yen since. Well, what that I think is beginning to suggest is that there is scope here for the yen to weaken further and for the Japanese equity markets to do somewhat better. Particularly when we look at the second section index, it pulled back incredibly violently in the last 3 weeks of last year. It's unwinding now that oversold condition. It's going to have to sustain a move back above 7,000 before we can even begin to think about sounding the all clear. So there are a substantial number of markets internationally that are at really quite key areas of potential resistance. But arguably, the most important of these are in the USA. And the S&P 500 has now sustained a move back above its trend mean, and it's approximately 3% above it right now. Well, I guess the further that it goes above the trend mean, the greater the potential it's going to have to consolidate, and that therefore the better it is likely, or the more bullish this is likely to be. But it is still in the region of the highs that we saw in October, November, and December. And these are big psychological levels. Now, the market is substantially less volatile now than it was back then. And despite the fact that we've had three pretty quiet days, this is still an area of potential resistance. That's why we've had the pause. If we see a break above this level, well, then I think it's going to be pretty clear that we're going to see a move back up towards 2900 and a retest of the peak. But if it fails here, then obviously then the first area of potential support is the trend mean, and that's really not that far away, only about three and a bit percent. So we're definitely at a point of indecision. There is a lot of cash on the sidelines. There is a lot of money that's been invested in short-term treasuries. There's a lot of treasury management operations that have been put in place over the course of the last couple of years, and those investors are looking at the bond markets and thinking, well, I don't have to take any risk, and I can get 2.5% on a 2-year. And the yield has been, or the 2-year yield has been consolidating. Or let's just call it ranging over the course of the last 2 months. But it is below the trend mean. And if this is a consolidation, then it is going to sustain a move above it. But if, in fact, this is a distribution, or, and I guess when we are talking about yields, then in terms of prices, if the yield is falling, then the price would be rising. And when we look at the 2-year note, then we can probably see a better representation here. If that were a share, we'd be talking about a bullish consolidation. So if that's the case, well, this is the bond market really suggesting that we are not going to be seeing additional interest rate hikes, and that the more likely course of action is that we're going to see interest rate cuts. Whereas when we look at the gilt futures, we're getting a situation here where yields are starting to rise again. That is beginning to highlight that there is a risk that the UK is going to be raising rates. Well, that's particularly bullish for the pound, because particularly when you compare it to the euro, there is very little prospect of the euro raising interest rates. If the UK does remain closer to the EU than many people thought they were voting for, then the chances are that that will be beneficial from the perspective of the pound, and that the Bank of England could then start to raise interest rates again. They've wanted to raise interest rates, but they felt like that the risk was too high. Then, of course, if we're going to stick with the interest rate environment, well, the Australian dollar has been just about steady above this 70-cent level, and it's been weaker over the course of the last couple of days. There is zero potential for the RBA to raise interest rates. And when we start to think around the world that there are a substantial number of central banks, whether in Europe or Japan or Australia, that completely missed the boat in terms of trying to raise interest rates over the course of the last decade. And now, as the cycle matures, then they're going to be in a rather difficult situation if their economies, or if we don't get the global reflation trade. So what that really does suggest is that we are going to get a reflation trade, because the central banks around the world are very cognizant of what the risks are. And what that really suggests is that we're going to see a lot more money printing. And if the global economy continues to slow down, and we are seeing an increasing number of those kinds of figures, well, then the likelihood of the global reflation trade only increases rather than decreases. But what that also suggests is that gold, or I guess what a better way of thinking about it is, gold prices are a hedge against that particular development. And the price was in negative territory again today, and it is now pulling back into the underlying range. I think that it is likely we are going to see some additional consolidation because we're right in the region of the upper side of the range, and we've had a pretty impressive rebound. Also, that one thing we absolutely know to be true is you don't pay up for commodities. I think lots of people have been writing into that effect. Then you have people who have had plenty of experience of trading gold during the last bull market, and you don't pay up for commodities. So it's going to be a buying opportunity when we've had a pullback, and I think it is likely we're going to get a pause in consolidation. Even, for example, back in 2010, it had been going sideways for a while. It got up to a new high. There was a lot of people thought, golly, this is the time, it's really breaking out this time, and then it pulled back. And then it pulled all the way back to the mean, and then it went upwards. When people were disillusioned and probably had been stopped out, that's when it really started to perform. And I don't think anything has really changed in the gold market in terms of how it trades over the course of the last decade. So I think that's one of the more important points. Now, palladium prices are at $1,500 in the after hours. And that's against a background where it spent most of yesterday, or excuse me, the early part of today, rallying. So definitely we're starting to see some two-way trading starting to come through in the region of this psychological $1,500 area. Then the platinum price is steady in the region of the highs from back in November. It's above the trend mean. It has broken its downtrend. And as long as it is holding this breakout above the trend mean, I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to a recovery scenario. I was just reading an article on the plane about somebody who has created a synthetic brain and is storing memories in silver. Well, I guess that does help to highlight that silver is, in many respects, an industrial resource, but it's really cheap compared to the price that we saw back in 2011. It has been just about holding the move above the trend mean and the succession of higher reaction lows. So if that succession is going to hold, well, it's going to bounce. Otherwise, the next area of potential support is around $15. And it really does need to hold the $15 if this is a first step above the base. And I think that it is likely that this is, in fact, a first step above the base. Then, when we look at the oil price, the credit quality of a number of the Gulf states is deteriorating. They have got some significant liabilities, and the last thing they want is a lower oil price, regardless of what President Trump says. So they're very unlikely to accede to his demands to pump more. And so far, this reaction that we've had in the oil price is pretty similar to the one we had in January in terms of size. So we can now start to think about the fact that a $6 to $7 pullback in oil is inverted commas normal, and it would really need to pull back by more than that to question the potential that we're not going to see additional higher to lateral ranging. And nevertheless, I do think that anything above $80 is rarefied territory for oil. Then copper prices have continued to extend or at least hold this break above the trend mean and up and out of the 7-month base formation. I think that we are certainly looking at an environment here that investors are pricing in a global reflation trade. That's certainly what we're starting to see in terms of the performance of the industrial resources. Meanwhile, Rio Tinto and BHP Billiton have been pulling back from the upper side of their respective ranges. Rio Tinto just announced a special dividend, but it's right in the region of the peak from 2011 and last year, and it's overbought in the short term. So I think there is scope here for some consolidation. It's exactly the same thing with BHP Billiton. And BHP has got a history of being unable to sustain upward breaks. So it is pulling back in a reasonably dynamic manner in here this week, and that suggests that a peak of at least near-term significance is in place. Then it has historically been a buy when it's come back below the region of the trend mean. Well, that is the equivalent of the baby steps strategy within a choppy uptrend, which worked really quite well during the last bull market. The BlackRock World Mining Trust looks pretty similar to the London Metals in LME Metals Index, and it is currently trading at a discount of about 12%. So I think that we haven't quite yet seen an announcement or a conclusion that there is a global reflation trade in the offing, but it's certainly a possibility. I think the clearest risk, regardless of whether when people are talking about Korea or Pakistan and India, or whether it is the negotiations with China about the trade war, I think the bigger risk is that the shock value of the pullback we saw in December is still sitting with investors. And when we think about how people react to those kinds of shocks, well, one of the things that they'll do is raise cash, and then they're going to need a lot of convincing to get back into the market. And I think that considering that the market is right in the region of peaks from back in October, November, December, we can anticipate that there's going to be some additional consolidation. Then I think the much bigger picture is that the yield curve spread is pretty stable, and it has not yet inverted. And what that suggests is that there's still the potential that the market can do reasonably well from here. I think one of the biggest issues, or perhaps the biggest lessons with watching the yield curve spread, isn't so much that it gives us a reliable signal. There's really no argument about that. But what we've seen on multiple occasions previously is that when it does go inverted, the stock market keeps rallying, and that it can rally for as much as 6 months after the yield curve spread becomes inverted. That's why people start to question the legitimacy of the signal, because the market keeps rallying. Well, market has been going sideways for more than a year already, and we've had a substantial rebound. Well, these kinds of persistent advances do not last forever, and we will get a consolidation eventually. If that consolidation happens above the trend mean, well, then we really are talking about the best of all possible worlds. And there's obviously no guarantee that that's what we get. But if the lows at least hold, and then we get a sustained move above the trend mean, again, that would also be a pretty benign scenario. So I think we are at a rather interesting juncture here for markets, because there is a substantial amount of uncertainty. There are a lot of questions that are outstanding, but we also should remember that that is exactly what you get in a range, because that's when supply and demand come back into equilibrium. That is when people start to balance the arguments one against the other. The more important point is that if this market is going to break on the upside, it's going to require an additional source of liquidity. So we need to pay attention to what's going on with central banks, and then it's going to have to sustain a move up and out of these ranges. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.